B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Touch Your and Rich podcast is not a valid choice. You can choose. Play live
Maybe
stream.
Maybe I'll try. Maybe that'll make it
Play Toucher
work,
and Rich podcast. Or play Felger and Maz podcast.
Toucher and Rich podcast.
Sorry, Your and Rich podcast is not a valid choice.
The podcast is too
Your
and Rich.
Play live stream. Play Toucher and Rich podcast. Or play Felger
last try.
And Maz podcast.
Go ahead, sweetie.
Play Toucher and Rich podcast.
Sorry, Your and Rich podcast is not a valid choice.
That's too much urine.
You can choose. Play live stream. Play Toucher and Rich podcast.
But I just want to listen to the podcast.
Play podcast.
This has to be Bird's fault.
If I have a sports hub, it is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray just sitting there. He's in studio. You can go to twitch.tv/sportshub and watch Joe Murray and all of his greatness. He sits alone in the studio, and the Town Fair Tire Studio, as a matter of fact, and makes things a little less awkward for all of us having live TV going on there on the old Twitch. But there's something that I need our listeners' help with this morning. 617-779-0985. There is a trend that I have noticed, not only on the internet, but in real life. This is something I actually saw happen this very weekend. As we wait for Governor Baker to make some announcements that hopefully certain things will start opening back up today, it is really on us as a society to prove that we can handle ourselves and not be complete and total jackasses once all this happens. Now, there are going to be businesses, small businesses, that aren't going to be able to open up to full capacity. We've seen this with restaurants. We've seen to where maybe things aren't going to move as speedily as they did at first. You might have to wait longer, be a little more patient. Let's say that your usual to-go order would only take 20... Your ice cream, like the guy with the ice cream
your
place.
Ice cream may not be ready when you get there, Rich.
Yeah, that's right. I had an ice cream thing last night.
God forbid.
We had that story last week, that dude who had to shut it back down because
the Polar
people
Cave,
were,
yeah.
The Polar Cave, down at the Cave. People were just, they couldn't resist just being jerks. To just expecting immediate service and everything to be completely back to normal when these poor small businesses are trying to start getting rolling and opening back up. So if we want this to work, all of us have to make a promise to each other that we're not going to be a-holes to the people who are doing their absolute best.
Good luck.
But there seems to be one demographic that's doing this worse than anybody. Now, I kind of want to give you an example of this at first, okay? Because this is something that has been happening even before the pandemic. This is somebody that I've learned. Once again, I'm learning all about this. This is somebody that I've learned has been nicknamed a Karen. Mm-hmm. Joe Murray knows what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know how it got this name. I don't know where it came from. But apparently a Karen is a woman between, what is it, Joe? Maybe like the 30 and 50, kind of around
yeah,
there?
Yeah, so like women are Karen, men are Chad.
Okay, a Chad and a Karen. Okay, yeah. So a Karen, according to the way apparently the internet has seemed to tell me, is somebody who is a woman between the age of 30 and 50 who has a sense of entitlement that is unearned.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they like to show that sense of entitlement amongst people who are just doing their job.
And just real quick, Rich, it's based off of the Mean Girls movie. So like the unpopular girl was the Karen. So like that's how like it kind of came up.
That's weird and random because I'm just now maybe Karen's been around for a while, but now I think because of the pandemic, it's blown up. So let me just give you an example of a Karen that happened. Like, I think this was immediately before the pandemic. All right. So it's one thing to be this bad. This is a woman who is going to get her cell phone and she's having a problem with her cell phone and she went into a phone store and here's how things went.
The mafia won't get what they want. I guarantee it. How much is the new one? The mafia won't get what they want, and they'll be here with the new phone.
You're gonna have to leave.
I'm sorry. There's another store right across the street. You're gonna have to leave.
Okay, stop it. So this woman had cut in front of a line of people, and she was being rude because she wanted her service immediately. There was a line of people already backed up. She cuts into the front, and they're like, I'm sorry, we have these other people we have to help. And she starts demanding, no, you're helping me now. So they try to be nice to her, and then she starts berating the customer service guy. That's when the manager comes out and says, all right, we can't have you do this. You're going to have to go to a different store. And here's where things take a turn for the worse.
I'm sorry. There's another store right across the street. No. You're going to have to leave.
I guarantee you, Devil will not get what they want. I need a new phone.
I need you to keep your
phone.
Okay. All right. So there's a version of it before this pandemic happened.
Is this in Florida? Where was this?
I think that was Pennsylvania, actually.
Okay.
I think that was Pennsylvania. So you've got situations like that. I don't know if you've seen it, but there was a video of on Mother's Day, there was too long of a wait to get into a Red Lobster.
Red Lobster, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the woman went crazy.
The cheddar biscuits, man. She was upset.
Obviously it did. But I saw something firsthand this weekend. And by the way, if you have encountered something like this during the pandemic, 617-779-0985. It is a entitled person who thinks that everything is going to be exactly the way it was, and they can't handle not having perfect service. I don't know why it's called a Karen, but it is. If you have experienced this, 617-779-0985. So the mom and pop grocery store that I've been going to just this weekend started allowing people into the store. Now, for the longest time, you had to call ahead and you had to go and do like a curbside. Like they would get your license number and you'd set a time and you'd go up there and they would bring out. It was awesome. It was great. But now they're saying, now we'll start letting people in, but there are restrictions. One of the restrictions is only one person per party is allowed into this place to do all the shopping, which is understandable. It's a smaller grocery store. They want to be able to keep with all of the things that the government's putting out there. So I was going to get some curbside pickup this weekend for my groceries, and I saw this this couple walk in, and there's a woman standing at the door, an employee, being very nice. She has with her a stack of masks, a hand sanitizer, gloves that she's giving to people who are coming into the store, like saying, hey, you have to wear a mask, you have to wear gloves. So this couple goes walking up as I'm waiting, and the woman goes, hi, I'm just to let you know, just for the time being, we're only allowed to let one person in the store at a time. And the woman said, excuse me? She goes, yeah, we're only allowed to have one person, so if one of you could wait in the car and the other one can go in. He goes, we're doing this together. Like, it wasn't even, like, she went from zero to angry in one sentence. She goes, we're doing this together. And she goes, I'm sorry, man. There's, we were trying to keep it spaced out. And as you can tell, it's a Saturday. It's kind of busy. And so we have to only have one person at a time. And she's like, oh, yeah? Well, how about this? How about I stand here for 3 minutes after he goes in and go in by myself? What are you going to do about that then? And I'm like, this poor girl. And this girl's like 18 years old who's working there. This is probably like her beginning of her summer job. And here's her introduction to having to deal with these people. And she's like, we're not allowed to do that. And she's like, I'd like to speak to your manager. And meanwhile, while she's saying, I'd like to speak to your manager and putting up like, the husband's just like, dude, shut up. Just shut up. Let's just get our groceries and go home. He's not saying it, but he's got that face. But he knows better than to raise any kind of objection to this quote unquote Karen. So meanwhile, while it's going on, the guy with the cart comes out and he starts like bringing the stuff to my car and help him load and everything. And this doesn't end. Like, she's still standing there and I see the manager come out. And as I'm pulling off, she's still having words with him. That was like a 5 minute ordeal, just because this guy could have gone in there and gotten half the grocery shopping already done if this woman wasn't losing her mind. And it's like, who cares? This isn't like, why would you want to go in if you didn't have to anyway to a grocery store? This is insane. All right, let's go to Eric on line two. Eric, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
So I worked in a phone store up until recently, actually, and yeah, that's just one of the many situations that can happen. So I once encountered a lady in Swampscott, and she came into the store asking for an iPhone charger, and I said, okay, you can. There's one on the wall right there. Choose the one you want, and we can ring it up for you. And she's like, no, I want an on-brand iPhone charger. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, we don't have that. She's like, why can't you open one of the phone boxes? I'm like, wait, are you planning on... Yeah, I was like, are you going to plan on buying the phone, or... And she's like, no, I just want the charger. I'm like, well, we can't do that. So she starts yelling and screaming. She's like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to tell all my friends to cancel the Verizon service and go to Sprint. Then my manager just says, okay, you're going to get worse service. Have a nice day.
I mean, that's the one thing. Can we all just agree? Listen, everyone's has been an a-hole before. We know that. But, I mean, during a pandemic, if you can't just, like, step back and take a breath and realize that these poor people are doing everything they can to bust their ass to get things back. You think that they wanted to have to take the precautions that they're doing? You think they've liked missing out on money for the last couple of months? No.
They're working to make ends meet at this point, than ever before.
If there's any time you got to check your sense of entitlement at the door, it's now, and it's going to be that way for a while, so get used to it. Let's go to Eric. Eric on line four. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Love the show. So I work at a home improvement store, and our sales have been higher than ever, but the customers are just absolutely brutal, and it's mostly the women, and it's usually not, which is baffling. I mean, just some of the stuff that's said to us because we're not running a sale on flowers or something. It's insanity right now.
Well, we had a guy who called us who worked at a car dealership. And they've been doing this thing where if you need to buy a car, you can call in ahead of time and make an appointment so you can, you know, keep with the restrictions. And it's just like one-on-one. And he said this guy came in and he said the guy tried to like lowball the dealer. He was like, all right, this is what I'm going to give you. Like the car was something like $30,000. And the guy's like, I'm going to give you like $22,000. And he goes, excuse me? And he goes, you should be kissing my ass right now because you're not selling anything. You should be kissing my ass to sell a car. And this guy's like, you've got to be kidding me. And apparently this was a dealership full of cars that aren't like ones that you, when you absolutely need a car just to get around. These were like luxury cars that like people don't truly need. And this guy was trying to pull rank on this. I swear to you, how people don't have the wherewithal or just the awareness that if there's any time to just be cool during all this, mm-hmm. it would be during a pandemic. All right, 617-779-0985, the calls are coming in. If you had a situation where you've dealt with what's called a Karen or anyone like this, somebody who just still, even during a pandemic, has a feeling of entitlement and anger that things are not up to their standards in speed or quality during a pandemic, I'll take your call. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Touch Your and Rich podcast is not a valid choice. You can choose. Play live
Maybe
stream.
Maybe I'll try. Maybe that'll make it
Play Toucher
work,
and
yeah.
Rich podcast. Or play Felger and Maz podcast.
Toucher and Rich podcast.
Sorry, Your and Rich podcast is not a valid choice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
But people don't, they're like, where's my ice cream? But people don't, they're like, where's my ice cream?
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. A little shout out to all the people who are working through all of this. And the people who are waiting to get back to work, hopefully you'll have some good news at 11 o'clock today when Governor Baker gets out there. But, I mean, if there's any time where we all need to step back and give people a little bit of leeway on the speed or quality or whatever it is, it's now. Don't be an a-hole. Don't be an a-hole during a pandemic,
you almost
man.
Said something else.
I did. It's true. It's like, I mean, I'm seeing all these videos of people who are demanding their service now, and I saw it firsthand. And I know that. I mean, if just in the small sample size I had, where I went to the store once this weekend to get groceries, I saw it. I guarantee you there's going to be people who think that everything is supposed to be up and running to their standards, back up to normal. I mean, it's going to be chaos. And I feel for everyone who's got to deal with these people, like that guy down at the polar thing at the down in Cape Cod.
I'm not a trauma center. It's ice cream.
So if you've dealt with it, and I guess there's a nickname for the type of woman. And for some reason, I've seen like more women videos than men videos. I guess it's Karens or what they're called. Maybe they've been around forever, but I'm just now becoming aware of the term. And from way it's defined is like women between the ages of like 30 and 50 who just, they demand excellence now, despite an effing pandemic. All right, let's go to, how about Tony on line four? What's up, Tony, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hi, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Hey, Tony.
So I own a restaurant, and, you know, like most restaurant owners, just a lot of things have changed since this has happened. And we do curbside pickup. And we just had a woman this past weekend do online, and it quotes the time online. She calls us after the order, yelling at us that the is this true? Is this wait time true for an hour? And we said yes. And she said, well, can you just move me in front of the line? And we said, no, we can't do that. So,
oh my God.
So she begins by showing up 20 minutes before her quoted time and is yelling at my employees as they're coming out to give food to the other people. And I had to go outside, and she ended up waiting probably 15 minutes after her quoted time.
Sure.
And she's yelling at me, telling us how we're lying to her. That's the reason that we got her to come, was to lie about the time. She's got a family at home, and she just doesn't understand why we can't work faster.
Meanwhile, you're sitting there, and you've got to go through – I mean, you're working with limited staff, I'm sure. You're worried – you're taking extra precautions so nobody gets sick. It's basically hell on earth inside your restaurant, isn't it?
It is. It's crazy. You're doing less business, but you're working more. It's just it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, I ended up going outside, and, you know, you don't want to turn away any business at this point, but I just told her, listen, we're working as fast as we can. I can only say sorry so much. I ended up just taking the food and handing it to her once it was done, and just said, here's all your money back. And actually, basically, don't care if we lost the business from it. It was just, I don't know, it was just hard, just. You know, she was parked right next to the door, too. So every time you came by, she would just yell at them as they were walking to these other cars.
Hey, plug your restaurant, man. Give it a plug.
Seriously.
The name of it is Mac and Waltz. It's in Norton, Massachusetts.
All right. Well, go if you're in Norton. Make sure you check out Mac and Waltz. Thanks for doing what you're doing, man. All right. Let's go to Evan on line three. What's up, Evan? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey. So yesterday... Well, first things first, my wife and I just welcomed our first daughter about 3 weeks ago. So I'm avoiding going to any store at any point in time. So I'm going to everything right before they close, which is typically when there's the least amount of people, I've realized. Going to this home improvement store, I need a couple nuts and bolts. And they're loading the lumber in the row next to it. In order to do so, they've got to shut down the nuts and bolts aisle in case anything falls over. So I'm waiting 5 minutes, 10 minutes. This guy next to me loses his cool, slams open the gate that's supposed to be locked, but it isn't locked, and starts rummaging around in there. And when the Home Depot guy runs down there to be like, man, oh, I'm so sorry, the home improvement guy runs down to be like, man, you can't be down here. This is a safety issue. He starts cussing up a storm like nobody's business, screaming and hollering about how he's having to wait 10 minutes to get his screws. Just give him 1 minute. 5 minutes later, he still can't find his screws. The home improvement store man is trying to be as calm as he can. He's running around telling the forklift operators, you can't be doing what you're doing right now. We've got an idiot over here who's risking everybody's life. And so the home improvement store man, he doesn't want to be down that aisle. He knows what's going on next door. It's the day before day when they're trying to load up all this lumber to get ready for the big rush on all the project sites. This guy took about 7 or 8 minutes to finally get his screws. They then had to lock the gates again and actually lock them this time. And the home improvement store guy honestly felt like he had to keep apologizing to the other 8 people who knew how to follow the rules. And I'm like, you don't have to apologize to me. Like, there's nothing wrong that we did or that you did. Like, that guy was, he was a true Chad. I could not, and the whole time he's flexing his muscles as hard as he could. He kept pulling his mask down, screaming that he couldn't breathe. And I just want to be like, well, if you weren't screaming, and if you could just take a breath, everybody, you could keep that, and the home improvement guy could not, he kept trying to like, stay away from him, and the guy kept walking up to him too, and he's like almost like, stay back, dude, stay back.
You're sitting there probably with like a new baby at home, and you're like, you probably got that thing in the back of your head just like, dude, I gotta get out of here, I do not want to get sick.
We've been having friends and family go everywhere for us, and of course it's like 7:30. I needed to finish this project last night, I needed to get done for this morning, and I'm like, I really don't want to go. So I went by the local store, which is closing at 4 on Sundays, and I was like, oh crap, I gotta go to the big box store. I go in there, it's not that busy, so I'm like, it won't be that big of a deal. But of course I'm sitting there waiting and twiddling my thumbs. I'm dressed up looking like, you know, some crazy person with all sorts of gear on, and I'm like, I just need to get out of here. I want nothing to do with this place. I get out of there, I call my wife, and she's like, that's it, no more stores for you.
Yeah, right.
I want everybody to go out.
Well, listen, man, congrats on the newborn, and stay safe. Hang on. This guy just tweeted us that a local Karen was bitching at employees at a store for not taking their masks off when they talked to her because she didn't feel like they were being honest if she couldn't see their face. Let's go to Chris, line 2. What's up, Chris? You're on Toucher and Rich.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, this Karen that you're explaining is my wife to a T. No matter where, I swear to God, no matter where we go, she will find something to complain about. She will be in Walmart. She'll find a bottle of shampoo somewhere. And even though it's clearly not that particular spot, she will argue to get that price.
Oh,
and it's only gotten worse since this whole pandemic thing started, because everything's so sparse right now because, you know, they're not restocking it. Go to a restaurant, she'll complain about her food, she'll end up getting it comped. I mean, she just complains about everything. It is so embarrassing. I'm just sitting there saying, okay, just pay for the damn food, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I will argue with her because I'm embarrassed by it, and I end up finding the waiter or waitress and you know, give them like an extra $10 for a tip for having to deal with it, because it's embarrassing.
Okay, hang on.
It really is.
But you do that on the sly, right? Because if she sees you do that, that would piss her off, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but at this point in my life, I don't care if I piss her off or not. I mean, it is what it is.
How long have you been married?
12 years? I've been with her for 20.
Oh, well, okay. God bless you, man. All right. Well, thanks for suffering through that. Let's go to Sean on line 7. Sean, have you dealt with any of these people as someone who's out there and face to face with the Karens and the Chads of the world?
Yeah. So I go door to door, like fixing air conditioning, plumbing, everything like that. And I went to go fix this guy's AC and walked up to the door, rang the doorbell. The dog runs around side of the house, starts attacking me. I went to the ground, everything. Homeowner saw the whole thing happen. So I get up, start walking to my truck. I was like, I'm out of here. And the guy just goes, wait, hang on. You still have to come back inside and fix my AC. And I'm bleeding out of my back. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, a little bit of entitlement there.
So you're out to go get a tetanus shot, and this guy's like, you're coming back, right? Yeah, cool, man.
And he's like, oh, wait, no, you're not fixing my AC? I was like, no.
Oh, all right, well, thanks, man. Let's go to Larry, line 3. Larry, what's up? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey,
I think I'm like the elephant in the room here. What about Zolak last week? He was complaining about this national chain restaurant, about how his wife had to wait 2 hours. And
he was on Cinco de Mayo, by the way.
It's true. He did.
Talk about self-entitlement. Come on, Zoe, I love you, but come on, I know. Take a break, for Christ's sake.
Oh, you know what? Sometimes we got to call ourselves out when it's true.
I had forgotten about that.
Hang on, so he went to a Mexican restaurant on Cinco de Mayo, Joe, and was upset that it was taking a while?
No, his wife did. His wife was in the parking lot. He was at home, I believe.
And he was upset that it was taking forever?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. I love Zolak to death, man. You can't do that. I mean, listen, nothing's going to be perfect. You're going to have to call audibles. Not everything's going to pan out the way you want it. But you just, especially on Cinco de Mayo at a Mexican restaurant, if that was the case. I mean, but that's something I did. If anything, you know what that reminds me totally of?
I'm not a trauma center. It's ice cream.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can take these calls all morning, but the major part is thanks for everyone who's doing all this, having to deal with a-holes. We can do this right, people. We can. We're going to open up slowly. It's going to suck for a lot of people who have to work in these conditions. You know, running a restaurant right now has got to be one of the tougher things to do, but at least they're happy. You know, there's people who can't even get a paycheck right now. But when those people go back to work, don't be dicks, all right?
Scared that this is going to happen, Rich, because I don't know what movie, the line from some movie, a person is smart, but people are stupid.
Listen, we all understand that you got to, stay safe, and you got to, I think wearing masks is the right thing to do and all that, and you got to, I get that. But the one thing we can truly control is not being a-holes to the people who are helping us. And if you're at a point where you're so entitled and you think that things have to be perfect, then what have you been looking at, or where have you been living for the past 2 months? It's going to be a wild ride. Everybody buckle up and just sit back and get ready, because everything's going to take a little bit longer than usual. It's not going to be exactly the way you want it, but we're all in the same boat. No, scratch that. In many cases, the people that are helping you are in a worse boat than you are. So don't be a dick. And that's my final say on all that.
Round of applause to you, Rich. Certainly.
It just comes down to that. Don't be a dick. We're in a pandemic. All right. No, all right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to some sports stuff after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriated.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rory McIlroy to win it or lose it all. Has to get inside the shot of Matthew Wolff.
Come on, partner.
Controlled swing, flighting it down, turning it right to left. This online, and I think he has done it.
Oh, man.
We may have to get out the ruler here. He is almost pin high left. Matthew Wolff is short to the right. Oh, they're going to have to measure this one, but that looks pretty good to me.
Well, the delayed reaction, they weren't sure, but I guess they've gotten the word, Earl.
Kevin Harvick is about to become the 14th driver in NASCAR Cup history to reach 50. Career victories, breaking a tie with Tony Stewart for 14th. Harvick wins NASCAR's return to action at Darlington.
Thank you, guys. Awesome job. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Now, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And after months of just bad news and uncertainty this weekend, you can't say anything, but this was good news for sports coming back. You had, No, not really top tier sports. German soccer, Bundesliga.
Well, it's top tier over there.
Over there, not for me. I don't care.
No, not for a lot of people. No.
NASCAR came back once again. I don't care. Just four bros playing golf. That came back. I don't care. But it's something. It's huge. And now on top of UFC doing their thing and doing it successfully, you have to think after this weekend, you've got Major League Baseball, you've got the NBA, and you've got the NHL now knowing that the pressure is on. You can have sports. They've shown. Now, listen, there could be a little bit of fallout, but for right now, they have shown that you can have sports and you can have it successfully.
We'll figure it out in about a week or two.
Okay.
How successful these sports are. But yes, the clock is beginning to run.
And that is fair. But that is fair. But if you're looking at like the pendulum, like which way it's going as far as momentum is concerned.
Yes.
This was a huge weekend.
Yes.
For the start of the actual sports you want to see. As I said earlier in the show, it's not that I miss sports. As a matter of fact, it's not sports that I miss. It's good sports. I didn't watch a second of the NASCAR race because I didn't care. Even though I knew it was significant and I knew it was sports. Like, I'm not like, I have to watch sports. You know, Fred's right. There's so much other stuff on TV that you could see. You know, there's different shows. You could, you know, do stuff with your family. I don't have to watch NASCAR because it's sports. Now, Joe does because he's a degenerate gambler and probably had money on it. But in my case, like, I want hockey. I want basketball, and to a lesser extent, sure, it would be nice if there was baseball, but that's just, I'm not a Wallach. But what you saw this weekend was nothing but positives. The fact that they were able to pull off this NASCAR race, and you're right, there could be a little fallout afterwards, and I'm sure there'll be some articles about some things they didn't follow in guidelines, which are important. I'm not going to downplay that. But you'll learn from that. And maybe if those things do get called out, then you can continue to do it the right way. On top of that, the whole baseball situation is weird, but they're going to have baseball. You had Marty Walsh this weekend say, hey, Fenway Park, it's open for you to play here. Now, there aren't going to be fans, but we can have baseball. That's good. Right now, it's good enough. Baby steps. We're getting to the right spot. At least there's going to be games on TV, and it sounds like baseball is doing whatever they can to get this started, despite the players and the owners butting heads. Now, Carlos Correa, with the Houston Astros, who's probably someone who's very happy that there's been somewhat of a delay this year and there are new rules, but like no fighting and any kind of contact. I got to think the Houston Astros are the best beneficiary of all of that. But he did an interview recently where he was talking about the owners. Now, if you remember, at the beginning of this whole pandemic, the owners made an agreement with the Players Association, and the players agreed that they would not be paid and they would not hold the owners to their contracts for games that were not going to be played. So, I mean, basically, half of the games they're expecting are going to be played in a regular season. And here's what Carlos Correa had to say in an interview this weekend.
If we only play half the season, 15% of our pay, I'll play for the time that we play. Obviously, our contract's for 162 games. So if we play 81, then getting paid half of it sounds right.
Okay, so right now the players are having a massive problem because what the owners are doing is they are now asking these players to sign something else that says, okay, we know that you said you would give up the pay for the games you wouldn't play. Now we want you to take a cut because there aren't going to be people in stands. As I said last week, that is the most jackass, insincere move by the owners I've ever heard. Like, they had this, like, what they're trying to say, the owners, what they're trying to do right now is saying, you know what? Really? You're telling me that we're going to, immediately after a pandemic, that we weren't going to have full stands right away? Like, you're telling me that we weren't going to go from people locked down in their homes, not able to see relatives, to not having completely full stands with people in lines at the bathrooms and peeing on each other on the troughs? No. It's the most disingenuous statement ever by the owners, that they thought that there were going to be packed stands, and all of a sudden they're playing shocked, feigning, oh my goodness, really? It's going to be empty stands? Well, you guys are going to have to give up some cash. And once again, when it comes to billionaires versus millionaires, I'm going to pick the millionaires. I'm picking the little guy.
neither side looks good, but the owners have done a good job leading up to this, you know, backing up their own argument. I mean, how many on June 1st, how many members of baseball operations are going to be either out of a job or have their salary cut by at least 25% or more? It seems like the majority of Major League Baseball teams, and we haven't heard anything about the Red Sox yet, are going to be doing this. I think the Marlins cut 40% of their baseball ops staff and docked everyone else's pay by 25%. All the owners and team executives or team executives, team presidents, I know Derek Jeter, I think, is no longer taking a salary. I mean, the owners are doing their best to cut payroll outside of the big salaries as well.
Hey, John, how much is John Henry worth?
A lot.
$2.6 billion.
Yeah, he is. So why would you cut baseball operations salaries? Why would you furlough employees?
Great question. $2.6 billion he's worth. And we're supposed to be rooting for them in this?
No, but here's the
you
deal.
Don't root for anybody
yes,
in this.
And my whole thing is like these guys are complaining. Like Snell came out, Bryce Harper came out, like I don't know.
And they sound like jerks. Dude. And by the way, they're the worst spokesmen for their cause. Like, if I don't even care the words that were coming out of their mouth, I hate them. Just the way they say it. Like, they're the worst people. Like, I don't care if they were, like, you know, arguing for, like, I don't know, like something that we can all agree on. You know,
yeah,
for
Harper is very hateable. We didn't know anything about Snell until this past week. So,
and
yeah.
Boy, they love using the word bro, too. They love that word bro. But yeah, I couldn't think of worse people to fly the flag for what the players are doing, but it doesn't mean they're not right. And Joe, I know you're saying that they put all this stuff aside and go and play, but at the same point, man, they already signed a contract, and the contract was like,
now
listen,
we're going
to give now they want them to do a second one. I'm kind of in FU mode. And so what happened, what was even funnier, is that over the weekend is that, you know, the players, one of the arguments they've been using against the owners is that, you know, you want us to sign this second deal where we get another pay cut, but you haven't even told us how you're going to keep us safe. Well, the owners, in the most passive-aggressive way ever, released a 67-page document of ways that these guys are like restrictions, rules, things that they need to do in order to keep themselves in regulations, social distancing and all of that. Now, the testing part of the 67 pages all makes sense. They would get tested twice a day. You know, there'd be tests everywhere. That I have that I'm sure none of the players have problems with. Let's talk about spring training. Limited to 50 players a club. Four-person umpiring crews would be used, and the possibility of adding a fifth because there might actually be a heat problem in Arizona and Florida during the middle of summer, so they've got one ready to go in case one faints of heat exhaustion. Okay, fantastic. Facility protocols. Communal water, sports drink, coolers, jugs, they're prohibited. Only personal water or individually prepared sports drinks or bottles. Contactless water dispensables or disposable cups can be used. No spitting. No using smokeless tobacco. No sunflower seeds in restricted areas. Any physical interactions such as high fives, fist bumps, hugs, are avoided at all facilities.
I give that 10 minutes.
No, I mean, why are we even watching Korean baseball where they're not supposed to spit?
You look at this 67-page dossier or whatever the hell it is, and it's not foolproof. I mean, it looks great on paper. They're talking about, you know, quarantining people at hotels, and you're not allowed to leave the hotel unless you get specific approval to do so. But you have to rely on bus drivers. You have to rely on guys who are at the gate for your special entrance. You have to rely on clubhouse attendants. You have to rely, and if you fly from one place to another, you have to rely on pilots and flight attendants specifically for your plane. Or if you take a bus. I mean, that's another thing. You know, you're supposed to take buses from place to place instead of fly if it's close enough. If you're on a bus from Boston to New York to play a three-game series against the Yankees or against the Mets, all of the people there might be asymptomatic, but they still might have the virus. At this point, regardless of how much you plan, someone's going to get this thing. Someone is going to get sick. It's how much of an acceptable risk the sport and the players are willing to take.
Well, right. That's the thing that's going to be the most interesting in all this, because John Heyman interviewed a bunch of players, and he said the things they're going to have the biggest problems with are the licking of fingers is huge for pitchers, as we all know. Like, that's massive. On top of that, no, you're not allowed to hit inside. You can only do it outside. What if, I mean, yeah, that's They apparently they have a huge problem with that. Also, no sauna, hydrotherapy. Hydrotherapy is a big one. No leaving the hotel once you get there unless you check in with somebody from the team. No Uber, Subway. They say those are the toughest ones for the players and coaches. But John Heyman said, now, to all of us, if we were making that much money, we'd probably be like, okay, well, these are things I could live with. But you got to understand, and John Heyman tries to make this point, is let's say you're somebody who already has $50 million in the bank, and because of all of the cuts, you are set to make this season $3 million, like Blake Snell. Blake Snell's a perfect example. If you agreed to what the owners want to do on the second contract, he'd be making $2.5 million, where next year he'll be making $13 million if there's no pandemic. And what he is saying is that after seeing this list, there's a bunch of people in baseball, including some of the managers, who think that, number one, it's not as safe as they thought. Number two, it's impractical and not doable. And number three, which is the most important, they're wondering if it's even worth it to attempt to.
Yeah.
So these are things that they're going to have to get worked out. I believe they will. I think a lot of this is posturing right now so the players don't have to give up another percentage. And once again, I think they're right. But it doesn't mean that this is going to be a hard battle. But if anything, we learned that we're moving in the right direction. And you had baseball do that this weekend. That's just another step for them to butt heads and then have makeup sex afterwards. And then you've got a situation right now with hockey where hockey just out of nowhere says, you know what, we got a great idea for how we're going to start things up. And they've got this 24-team tournament that they're going to do. And you said, John, it was going to be six teams of each division. They're going to play in like different cities. Is that right?
Top six teams in each division, and each of the four divisions will have a hub city. And it's been rumored that Raleigh, North Carolina will be one. And we discussed this last week. Vancouver is making a pitch to be one for the Pacific Division. I don't know what it'll be for the Bruins Division, but the point is everyone plays in one place. So there's no travel, at least until you get to the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals. There's no real travel at all. And it would be a best of three series. Three would play six and four would play five to get seeds three and four in the division tournament. And then the top two teams in the division, and for the Bruins, they'd play a best of three against Tampa Bay to see who would get the top seed in the division tournament. And I don't know what the next rounds would be, whether or not they'd be best of five or best of seven. They haven't really detailed that yet. But right now, apparently, that's what the return to play committee is discussing.
I think it's dumb not starting. I think you should just start with the playoffs, and whatever the standings are the standings. But it's only a week, it sounds like, that they'll be adding to it. My whole thing is you got to get in and get out. You got to figure out the fastest way to get this thing done and still have it be, you know, a quality playoff, because, you know, there's all this speculation as to what could happen if this goes into the fall and whether it would flare up again. You just want them to get this done. But if anything you can take away from this weekend with, you know, sports that most people don't care about, is that it's happening, and that the other leagues, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, the NHL, they're watching this, and what they're seeing is success, and they're seeing people talk about it, and they're seeing ratings, which means money in their pockets. So just take that away from this weekend. That was a huge step towards getting the sports we actually want to watch back.
The key, I think, Rich, out of everything we watched is NASCAR. And from what I saw, you know, everyone in the pit crews wearing masks, but there are a lot of people working in close proximity. Mm-hmm. And if NASCAR manages to emerge from this weekend unscathed in the next couple of weeks, I think that goes a long way towards the four major sports getting back to work.
You know, even when I liked NASCAR, like I've been to like 20 NASCAR races. I used to go to a bunch of different ones. And I mean, even when I liked it, I never liked watching it on TV. Like I liked going to the races, and I think it was more about the whole experience of the people and having the headset and being able to listen to, you know, what the pit crew was saying to the drivers. I had zero interest in watching that, and I thought I was going to want to watch it because, like, here we go, we got a big sports back on TV. Couldn't have given a rat's ass. To me, it was – as a matter of fact, I was more excited for a horse because I knew it was going to be a disaster. So I watched that. Like, I watched every minute of that horse. Well, not every minute, but a lot of it.
No, you didn't.
Well, the first 2 hours I did. The second two
no
hours
No one watched all of it.
The first 2 hours I did. Like, the, you know, there were two broadcasts. I watched the entire first one.
Sure, sure. But after the mistakes got old, you're like, I don't need to see any more of this.
Bankroll Boys spoiled it for me. They told me who the winner was.
We knew the winner.
Damn you.
Hey, Rich, real quick – there was a poll this weekend about, do you want baseball back? 53% of, like, these people, like, said yes, they want baseball back. But, like, The other people don't care. My whole thing is this.
Tell me the players.
What?
The players?
Yeah, I read it. It was on a e-medical web. Like, they asked like a bunch of people, do you want baseball back? 53% said, yeah, we'd like it back in like June or July or something.
I want
like
hockey
that.
Back.
But listen, I think everything that's happening right now, I think football is legitimately on pace to maybe not the preseason, but when the season starts in September, I think there might be, I'm not saying fans right away, but there could be some stages of fans in the seats.
Well, yeah. The NFL is lucky at the timing of this thing, because it gives them enough time to maybe get that bell curve to drop flat when it really matters. Mm. If this had sprung up during the winter, I think it'd be a much different story.
All right, we will take a quick break and be right back at Joe Murray's Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Suddenly find yourself at home? Remember, you can listen to the Sports Touch
of Smart Speaker.
We'll keep you informed, home and entertained. Tell your smart speaker to play.
An emoji there, Fred.
98.5, Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. I don't know what it was about this song when we came back. Maybe it was the 90s soundtrack. What is it? Is this Feel My Flow?
Feel My Flow. Now
is that Naughty by Nature?
That's right.
Okay. I just, once again, it's going to piss me off so bad. The Last Dance, that Michael Jordan documentary, was so damn good. I mean, it was like it hit every right note, and then the end, they just couldn't resist the urge to put Pearl Jam in there. The most important, like the ending, the final scene, they put in like a not even good Pearl Jam song in there. And I'm not one of these guys who hates Pearl Jam, but I do understand that it's in with every like sports guy's genetics that they have to somehow have the jam involved. And I just, it pissed me. I was like, oh my God. Someone's going to go, well, maybe you didn't know this, but Eddie Vedder was the great uncle of Michael Jordan's grandchild. Or godson. There's going to be some sort of weird connection, but as far as I know, there's none. And it just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.